Hello and welcome to the EIC Scaling Club podcast, where we share interesting insights from leading European deep tech entrepreneurs, investors, and industry experts. You've come to the right place. Now sit back and enjoy the podcast. I find myself here at the Tech Tour Growth 50 event in Paris, sitting down with Christian Nagel, who is a partner at Early Bird. I think for this audience, I don't need to introduce Early Bird anymore, but I'm still going to ask you to give sort of an elevator pitch about the firm.
Yes, thanks, Robin. Thanks for having me here. We are one of the largest European VCs investing in early stage. Seed and early stage is our core, basically. The name indicates exactly that. With funds being 350 million, so to say, around size, investing into 35 companies per fund, and also with the follow-on capacity with growth funds, basically. Maybe this is not so known, basically, that we can also support companies in the BCDE round, whatever, with growth funds focusing on mainly the portfolio. And with regard to our sectors, we are covering fintech, insurtech, one of the biggest sector. Enterprise productivity is the second sector. The third is deep tech. Within deep tech, we do space, energy, and food, all with dedicated teams, with teams good knowledge and good basically backgrounds in these specific verticals.
Yeah, very well rehearsed. So that's all the information we need in one go. So that's good. You said deep tech. You have space, energy, and food, if I'm not mistaken. Why single out those sectors specifically?
I think it's always that we don't define these sectors, basically. We come across interesting opportunities, and then we deep dive these sectors. And then we may find the sector interesting, then we build a hypothesis on those, and then we dig deeper, build a team around this, and so on. This is how it happened, basically. Space, it was triggered by the investment into ISA Aerospace. We came across them, we liked them, basically. In a very early stage, we said, oh, it's too early, it's too complicated for us. We met them again and said, okay, well, let's really dig deeper and find our hypothesis around this, and then we invested finally. And same with the other sectors, basically. So it's triggered mostly about opportunities and interest, basically, within our team. So that's also why these sectors can change over time. Now they are, I would say, very interesting sectors, all those three, especially with food. We have been, I always linger around whether we should do something in food and felt we missed the train in a couple of instances, the first wave, second wave, and now we feel there's a third wave coming, which is extremely interesting, which is also yielding venture returns, and also obviously from the sustainability point of view, very attractive, because we need to solve problems. We can't slaughter animals anymore, and these kind of things we all know. So that's why also this triggered us basically to become more active in this sector.
That makes a lot of sense. So we're here at an event where a lot of scale-ups are, a lot of investors, but also fund of funds. So obviously one topic of conversation is the market, which remains tough on many levels. But how do you see it from an early bird perspective?
Yeah, well, the markets, we have been through this since we are in the market since more than 25 years. We have been through ups and downs for quite some time, quite a lot. Well, I think last year was specifically challenging. We tried to basically manage our company or support our companies in the way that they don't go fundraising last year. Some had to go fundraising, some deep tech companies, because they run out of money. You can't basically slim them down to become profitable or stay over water. It's impossible. They had to raise, and they also managed to raise. That's good. They obviously have been in the right sectors, the sectors I mentioned, so that's good. And, well, this year, I was at Slush last fall, and the sentiment was 24 is getting better. So it's a little bit this self-fulfilling prophecy. If everybody thinks it's going to get better, it's getting better. And but if you basically take this aside, the general sentiment, I think there are some points which are important. Some macro trends. We see obviously the interest rates not basically being increased anymore. Most likely they will come down, which is a signal, and everybody thinks alike, and that's also very likely going to happen. I think other than macro, obviously we have these wars around this. I think there's also at least these are priced in, or hopefully coming to an end soon. And third big point is the funds have a lot of dry capital. So they have been raising in the heydays two, 3 years ago, and they haven't been spending a lot. So the deployment rate was pretty low. So we last year basically we raised more money than we spent. So that's some, this has to be spent. So this is sitting there. So will it be spent this year? I say it will start. Will it start first half year? I don't know. But at least in the course of this year, I think we will see a change. And we already see now more activity. If you look through the statistics, you know this probably better than I. You see more activity coming in now. So is it maybe too early to say the change is here, but at least we see kind of, I would say, normalization at least.
Yeah, I hear and feel the same, and the data also shows it. And I also think once the capital is going to get deployed, there's going to be a flood of new deals being announced quite quickly. When that starts happening, we don't know. But if it starts happening, it's going to be quite active and quite intense, I think, I hope. Now, most people I meet at these events are quite bullish. I think that's normal. Investors and entrepreneurs are almost, by definition, quite optimistic.
It's in the nature of it, isn't it?
It's in the nature, it has to be. But at the same time, I think we can all, we're all mature enough to acknowledge that there are problems. So what are some of the barriers that you see that might prevent Europe from building the next tech leaders?
Well, I think it's in general, it's obviously we need more exits to basically to really ignite the system. It's not so much about in general, it's the US and here, so it's the same situation. I think the second is we need growth capital. I mean, we have been discussing here, basically there was a topic, it has been discussed here the most, that we need more growth capital. The US growth capital, which is coming, which we welcome obviously, is not so fluent, I would say, anymore, because many of the crossover funds and so they closed offices or basically focused on the US. So that's why I would say we need more of this. We need also capital coming from Europe, and not so much relying on capital coming from the US, which was good in the times, but now it's gone and now we need it. So that's why we need to basically build our own resources of capital to finance companies in later stages. And there are different initiatives going on, and we heard about the EIF initiatives and so on. So I think very good initiatives, but I think we need much more in the end. And if you look into the statistics, there's still this big gap. We started 20 years ago, I think there was this big gap in terms of capital per capita compared Europe to the US. And this gap is still there. Europe has grown significantly, which is good, but the US has also grown significantly. Mm-hmm. So this gap, a factor of whatever, between 5 and 10 per capita capital, is still there. And it's less in the seed in early stage, it's more in the growth stage. So this is really something we need to tackle, and we need to do much more politically and so on, because there's actually no reason not to invest into venture capital, because the returns, in the statistics are out there, and EIF has all the data, basically from the very beginning, they're extremely positive. They're even better than in the US. So there's no reason for pension funds, for anyone, basically family offices, other institutional investors, not to invest in European capital and double down on this.
Yeah. Yet another call for the pension funds and the other types of LPs to get more active in venture. The returns are there, the stats are there, the potential is there. I think everybody agrees. So hopefully we'll see that flood of late-stage capital coming soon. Now, one of the things that doesn't get highlighted enough, in my opinion, is that Early Bird was very early also in investing in places like Eastern Europe and Turkey, which worked out very well for you so far. Does that mean you're going to double down on the region, or do you think there's other geographies that you want to identify?
No, we're certainly going to double down on this. So the team is very active there. They just also raised another fund. So I think we will do more there, certainly, due to exactly what you mentioned. There are very attractive opportunities out there. There are talented entrepreneurs out there. There's good tech. So that's why we will do this and cover this region. In terms of the early bird, I think we will focus on Europe. So that's clear. Clear. We always have been discussing whether we should become more active in Israel, which is obviously an extremely attractive market, but also lots of competition, lots of US funds being active there. So that's why we rather say, let's focus on Europe, and we rather double down on Europe. We open an office in London, which is doing very well. We open an office in Paris, which is also doing well. So we try to uncover other regions. Basically, we have a dedicated team for the Nordics. We have dedicated teams for covering Portugal, Spain, and also Italy. And so we are basically seeing also more activities coming out of those countries, which are lagging a little bit behind. Like Germany has been lagging behind. When we started, Germany was behind, way behind, basically. Mm-hmm. Has catch up now. We see other countries, southern countries, catching up big time. So this is the way we wanted more focus and target on the European landscape.
Yeah, fantastic to see Early Bird spreading its wings, to say an obvious pun. Christian, thank you so much for your time. Maybe some closing words, a message of positivity maybe for the first-time entrepreneurs or the wannabe entrepreneurs out there. Why is it a good time now to start a company?
Yeah, what we see actually, I think it's a very good time to start a company because there is capital. You feel that, you think there's no capital, there's lots of capital. We see a lot of competition on the good performing deals, on the good, basically, on the good teams. So whenever you have a good, in every phase, even seed stage and so on, there's so much basically being sought after by the funds, the good teams. So take your time, build a good team, basically, that's the thing, and you get funding because we see the most attractive entrepreneurs now, they will get funding at very good terms. So it's not that basically the terms are bad out there. It's either you get a very good funding at very good terms or you can't raise. So make sure that you basically can raise and work in the right sectors and basically build the team, a high talented and good team. And then it's easy to fundraise.
Yeah, everything else will follow. Thank you so much for your time. We'll conclude with this positive message. Thank you, Christian, again, and best of luck with the rest of Early Birds.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the EIC Scaling Club podcast. For more interesting insights on European deep tech, subscribe to our podcast, YouTube channel, and our newsletter on eicscalingclub.eu. See you.